20 pages or so. So if your Bible has like 1,020 pages, it should be page 1,000-ish, roughly. You guys excited about donuts? Yes. Yes. No? Come for the donuts. Just come, Devin. Come for... Okay, maybe we'll mail you a donut. Just kidding, that'd be gross. It gets stale. Stale donuts are not a good thing. Email him a donut? You can't eat emails. 2 John, verse 3. It's only got one chapter. Shortest book of the Bible. Does anybody know the shortest verse in the Bible? Yes? Nope. That's actually a pretty long verse. And you know it, yeah. Jesus wept, yes. What is the... Does anybody know where it's at, though, exactly? John... Is it like John 14? John 14, John 15? Somewhere around there, I think. Y'all got it? If you got it, say got it. 2 John. 2 John. Not dumb think. Second John, in the words of Eliot. Second John. All right, let's all stand and we're going to read it together. Remember, no phones during service. If Terry catches you on the phone, she's going to take it forever. Just kidding, just till the end of service. Let's all stand on our feet. We're going to read the Bible together. All right. 2 John, verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to be called by you to this place, to study your word, to have understanding that is beyond our own, beyond ourselves. And we pray that we would have an excitement as we study your word, Lord. Give us joy, give us happiness to be doing this. And we pray that you would fill us with your spirit to focus on all that you have for us. And I pray that you'd speak through me, Lord. Let each word that I speak be directly from you to the hearts of your people. And we pray that we would all just grow in you in the ways that you know we need to grow today. And we pray all this in your name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Have a seat. Feel free to have a seat. So for those of you who weren't here Wednesday, we began a new series, and we're calling it To Whom It May Concern. Isn't that cute? I think it's really cute. And we have a slide for it. Chris Dendinger made that for us. He just whipped it up. And yeah, it's really nice. So basically, our series... It was really confusing. Well, last service was really confusing. Yeah, I'm gonna talk a little bit about last Wednesday. So, we started the series on Wednesday. We're going through 2 and 3 John, and we call it To Whom It May Concern because 2 and 3 John, yes, nailed it. And so we're going from 2 and 3 John, and we're calling it To Whom It May Concern because they're both individual letters written to different people. And so it's a letter, so we're just reading letter. We're reading people's mail, which is normally illegal, but when it's in the Bible, we're allowed to do it. And we're going to be looking at a whole lot of truth. That is the focus of these letters, is truth. So last Wednesday, man, my voice, woo. So last Wednesday, we took a huge in-depth look at truth because we need that foundation of a solid understanding of truth from a Christian perspective. And we learned that truth is not relative. So what that means is that what's true to me and like true to someone else, that's not a thing. That's called the theory of modern man, where I can be true about existence and then someone with a totally different idea can be true as well. And we learned that truth, when there's anything different about the truth, it makes it false. So when there's an antithesis, when it changes, when it's made opposite, it is false. So as Christians, we need to realize that when things go against the truth that God shows us, that it is false. And we need to understand that. Not because we need to walk up to people and be like,
You are false.
But because we need to cling to the truth. There's a quote from R.C. Sproul. I meant to share this with you guys on Wednesday, but it like didn't transfer to my iPad. So I'm going to share it now. He says, and he's like a really smart theologian dude. He says, the truth is that which corresponds to reality as perceived by God. Because God's perception of reality is never distorted. It's a perfect perception of reality. It's perfect and complete. He sees all. And so when we want to know the truth about everything, all we have to do is find a way where God communicates to us. Do we know a way? Yes, the Bible. And so we saw that that is truth. And then what truth is, what the truth is Jesus. He is like the key to truth. The Spirit is like our day-by-day reminder of the truth. And the Bible is like the dictionary of truth that we can go to at any time. Now, on Wednesday, I went into a lot more detail about this because it is so stinking important that we understand what truth is. That we understand that truth is only one thing. So what's true to me about life and existence, if it doesn't align with that, if it doesn't align with what God says, then that is false. No matter who thinks it, even if it's the smartest scientist you've ever known, even if it's a person who claims to believe in God, but it doesn't line up with Scripture, even if it's Albert Einstein himself, if it doesn't line up with what God says in His Word, it is false. And so that's our foundation. And we're going to continue to build it on, to build upon it as we move. And now we arrive at verse 3. And I love what the New Living Translation says in this passage. It says, grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and in love. I'm really excited about this passage today because we're dealing with something that is so simple but so powerful. It's like a Pixar short. You know what I'm talking about? Those little short films that they do before Pixar? They like blow your mind. First, you start out like, what's going on here? And then you're like, oh, I get it. And then you're like, by the end of it, there's this like lonely tear flowing down your face. And you're just like, that was so beautiful. And usually they have no words. It's just like the power of sight and sound just moves you. And I was at Finding Dory, and I'm not going to spoil it, but the Pixar short before that, oh, it's so beautiful. Like, it almost brought me to tears because of its beauty. It's like, it's poetic. It is seriously poetic. So what we're covering today, it's like a Pixar short because it's so simple, but it's super powerful. And we're dealing with something that I'm super passionate about. It's something I call Christian cliches. Does anybody know what a cliche is? Wow, nobody. Like a couple years ago, you don't know or you do know? What's it mean? No. Maybe. I've never used it that way, though. So back in the day, like 2 or 3 years ago, cliche was the thing to say. Especially if you were trying to make yourself cool, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's pretty sweet, but it's actually pretty cliche, actually. Because it basically says that I'm so over that, even though it's cool. So people would be like, oh, Justin Bieber, so cliche. One Direction, oh, so cliche. Skinny jeans, cliche. So cliche. See? It's still a thing. But today, the definition that we're using is more the like actual definition. So it's a phrase or opinion. I looked this up online. I didn't just make it up. A phrase or opinion that is overused and is often misunderstood or not fully understood. And we have these in Christianity because there's these phrases that Christians use a lot. And then growing up in the church, you realize, oh, that's what Christians say a lot. So you start to use them. Things like justified, sanctified, glorified, holy, keep yourself pure, God works all things together for good, just pray about it, God is love. God is leading me to dot, 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 dot. These are things that you've heard probably thousands of times, probably even more than that. And a lot of them are being taken out of the context of Scripture because Christians have gotten so comfortable just going, make sure you keep yourself pure. And it's like, where in the Bible does it say keep yourself pure? Like, what, doesn't Christ make us pure? How am I going to earn purity? And so we're going to look at two common Christian cliches. And I think it's so important, three common Christian cliches. And I think it's so important to cover these because, not because I think you guys like misunderstand them or are having trouble comprehending them, but because every day, maybe not every day, but a lot of days, I learn more about what these Christian common phrases mean. And I understand more and more how God intended it to be used and how like we should actually be using them. So I think it's super good for us to focus on that and to grow in this understanding of Christian cliches and not just using them in a cliche way, but using them the way God intended them to be used in the context of Scripture. So today, we're going to briefly cover three common Christian cliches and see how we can utilize them to their fullest potential in our lives. And those common Christian cliches are these three words you've probably heard thousands of times. You've probably heard them so much that when we started reading the verse, you were like, oh, been there, done that. You said, I got grace, mercy, and peace in my back pocket. But we're going to look at them deep and in depth. So first we're going to look at grace. Just take a deep look at grace. Second, we're going to take a really deep look at mercy. Basically asking the question, what is mercy? And then third, peace. So if you're taking note, you can jot those down. That's going to be our focus for today. Grace, second, mercy, and then third, peace. Very simple, but so powerful. So we'll start with grace. Grace, simply by definition, is the kindness of God that we experience every single day. The kindness of God that we experience every single day. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that because like I have curly hair and because you have blonde hair, it's not something you've earned because of your hair. It's not something that like you earn because you're not good enough or something. Like you have to be so bad and so lame to earn it. And it's not something that we can earn. You can't do enough to get grace. You can't work hard enough for grace. You can't accomplish something big enough for grace. It's not like once you get to the Olympics, then you'll get grace. No! Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We can't brag about grace because it's just God's kindness automatically given to us. It's crazy. So a good example of grace, I'm gonna talk about it, and I'm gonna see if you guys know what I'm talking about. So a mother named Kala, she's walking through the forest one day, and she hears this baby crying in a treehouse. And she's like, "What's that sound? I don't really know what that is. It sounds like something." So she goes up and explores, and there's this baby alone in the treehouse, abandoned by his parents, and he's about to be attacked by a cheetah. Does anybody know yet? Tarzan. See, I tricked you because Kala is a gorilla. You guys, see, tricked you. But pretty sure, maybe a leopard, because leopards are in the jungle. It was not a tiger. It was not a tiger. Tigers do not have spots. Could have been a jaguar. But so this is not the focus. No one cares about the cheetah. That's our enemy. No, we're not talking about Jungle Book. We're talking about Tarzan. So Tarzan is a baby all alone. And Kala, out of grace,
takes Tarzan, rescues him from the claws and fangs of a nasty jaguar or leopard or cheetah, and she raises this boy on her own. Tarzan would have died quickly without the love and nurture of Kala. And it's a powerful thing, and this is displayed in every single mother of a baby. The leopard? No. No, we're not talking about Jungle Book. We've moved on from Tarzan as well.
Is the jaguar the devil?
No, not at all.
That,
nope. It's an animal. So we're moving on from Tarzan, but we see grace.
What about every man?
No, Connor, it's okay. We're moving on. So we see grace every day in the love that a mother has for a newborn baby. It's a crazy thing because this baby, what has it done to earn the love and care of its mother?
Nothing.
That baby has come out peeing, screaming, crying, gross. Babies, they stink when they're born, I think. Some people like that smell, but I don't. I think it smells weird. Babies are gross and dirty. Just naturally. They're naturally just dirty things. But as the mother of that baby gives herself completely to the baby out of grace. Because what has the baby done to earn it? Nothing. Nothing at all. But she still gives every day to that baby. It's incredible. And grace is displayed in many ways from God to us. God giving his son Jesus to us. God giving us understanding and knowledge that we wouldn't have apart from him. God giving us strength to do things that we could have never done without him. God hearing our prayers. That's grace. The King and Creator of the universe listens to us when we pray to him. Whoa. I can't get one-on-one time with Obama, but I can get one-on-one time with God. That's crazy. That's incredible. It's an incredible thing that grace is. So now we move on to mercy. Mercy is actually quite different from grace. We pair it together a lot, grace and mercy, but they're quite different in definition. Mercy is treating someone with kindness or forgiveness when they deserve to be treated harshly. So treating someone with kindness, forgiveness when they deserve to be treated harshly. So they've probably done something that has wronged you or that has deserved punishment by law. And instead of enforcing that punishment, you forgive them or you give them kindness. You love them. You care for them. Romans 5 verses 8 through 9 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation." We were deserving of death because of sin. The penalty of sin is death. But even while we were destined for death in our sin, God gave us kindness and forgiveness. Something we did not deserve and something we could not earn. So here's an example of mercy. I got to take you back to my high chair days. I was 5 years old, still in a car seat. Little Isaac, chubby, practically bald because I only got like number two haircuts, buzz cuts. So I'm like this chubby bald boy sitting in my car seat. Still in the car seat. And my mom, she parked the car. My dad owned a car lot at the time and it was on a hill. And so she parked it there and she was like, "Isaac, do not get out of the car seat. I'm going to be right back. And do not worry about anything. Do not get up. Do not touch anything." And this was the type of kid. This is how I had to be talked to as a child. And so I was like, "Okay, Mom, take your time. I'm good. I love being in the car alone." And so as soon as she gets out, as soon as she's out of my vision, I go into like spy mode. I'm like, "Dun, dun, dun, dun. Unbuckle my seatbelt. Dun, 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 dun." And then I climb over the seat, and then I'm like getting in the seat, the front seat, and then speed racer mode kicks in.
all the cartoons I've seen, SpongeBob driving behind the wheel, I was like, I got this. So I'm like, my imagination is flourishing. Cars are zooming by me. I'm racing. I have a helmet on in my dream, my imagination. And I'm like, I'm seeing like birds zoom by because I'm getting air in my imagination. And then I remember in the cartoons where they would go and then they'd go faster. So I was like, and then I'm like going. And then suddenly I start going backwards and I'm like, okay, imagination's working real good. And then I realize I'm really going backwards. Like, this car is driving backwards. And it was on a hill. And this car was driving backwards. And I was going and I was like, okay. And then I got scared. And this car rear-ended into a brick wall at the bottom of this hill. And at the age of 5 years old, I had stolen my parents' car and ran it into a brick wall. Literally.
Good job.
And it was very bad, very crazy. And so my mother, she took me by the hand into the office and she spanked me with some cords because that's all they had at an office. It was painful. No spoons, just cords. It hurt. I still remember. I still have visions of my mother with a computer cable. But here's the mercy. My parents at that age could have said, son, you are in debt to us until you pay off this car, and we're going to call the police because you took our car without our permission. And I could have been put in, I don't know, what do they call that, like infant hall or something when you're that young? I don't know, but I could have been taken away. They could have reported me and had me pay. I could still be paying off that damaged headlight today. But no, they showed me mercy and just corrected me. It was a very stern correction and I still remember it. But they did not enforce the full punishment of something like that. And that's mercy. See, you guys don't realize, but your parents are showing you mercy all the time. So I know it's hard, but they are giving you mercy. Because, I mean, if you're anything like I was, you need it. So, there's a thing I learned when I was younger. To know the difference between grace and mercy. Because these can get complicated. And we have to realize that grace and mercy are two very separate things that are both very powerful and very important in our lives. So there's kind of like a little, it's kind of like a tongue twister to help you remember, kind of. 1 second, Connor. So grace is getting what you don't deserve. So you don't deserve the kindness of God. You don't deserve His love, His care, and affection. So grace, yes, His compassion. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Now mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So not getting death because of your sins. Not having the cops called on you because you stole your parents' car and ran it into a brick wall. That is mercy.
What about Miley Cyrus? Did she come?
So grace is getting what you don't deserve. And mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You hear the difference? You hear that? You hear that? It's subtle, but it can help you out. What's your question, Connor?
Are we going to do offering?
No, we're not going to do offering. But if you have offering, you can give it to me afterward. So that brings us to our last point. Our last point is peace. Now, this is not the hippie peace. This is not, yeah, dude, peace. Let's make peace, not war, dude. No, this is not that. It's not like that type of peace. It's not like, peace out, dude. Hey, peace. This is the peace. And this peace, it's not that. Though it's pretty, and it's not the pickup. It's not that either. This is something that Christians experience as a result of grace and mercy from God. This is when our spirit or our soul is able to completely rest, knowing that we have nothing to fear about where we stand with God and nothing to fear about our eternal existence. Before we became Christians, we were engaged in a full-on war against God. Colossians 1, verse 21 says, "This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions." So, before you became a Christian, you were in a full-on war against God. Not because God was against you, but because of your sin, you were against God. Whether you like it or not, you were against God. And if you're not yet a Christian, you are still in a war against him. But once we became Christians, we were able to be at peace with God and rest completely on his grace and on his mercy. And this peace, it's really exclusive to Christianity, because most religions or most belief systems in the world require you to do something to receive peace, or they just acknowledge that in this world or in our existence we'll never receive peace. So here's some examples of religions that you have to do something to receive peace. Yes, that's okay, don't worry about it. So like Catholicism, Catholics, you have to be deeply involved in their religious practices to receive peace. You have to be very committed, you have to be trained, most best from childhood and worked up into that to receive peace. Buddhists, to receive peace, you have to really, really pursue peace. Peace isn't just something that as a Buddhist that clicks. You have to deny all of your human nature desires. You have to shave your head bald. You have to move into a monastery and meditate most of the day. And yes, they are very peaceful, but they are working super hard for that peace. They are giving everything for that peace. Muslims even require you to do certain things to reach a state of peace, to reach a state of rest in their faith. So you have to do a lot of very bad things to reach peace and rest. But we as Christians, we can avoid this peace. And I'm sure some of you today are avoiding this peace. And here's how we avoid it. It's when we take it upon ourselves to earn God's peace. So an example of this would be, I just need to fix this problem. I just need to work out what's going on with my parents, or work out what's going on with my siblings or my friends. I just need to get this fixed. Then I'll be able to rest on God's peace. Then I'll be able to rest for sure. Or I just need to look a little happier for people. When people know I'm happy, then I'll feel happy. I'll be at peace. Or I just need to wait until this hard time has passed over. I just need to bunker down, sit through this hard season and wait for it to pass. Then I'll be at peace. Or I need to sin less and serve more. I just need to get that sin under control. Once I do that, then I'll serve a little more, and then I'll be at peace. And we're avoiding this peace by denying God's grace and God's mercy in our life. And all that God is asking us to do is to stop trying in your own strength to earn that peace. Stop working for it. Stop setting goals in your life to earn his peace. But instead, just receive grace, receive kindness, receive love that you don't deserve, receive forgiveness instead of death, receive his rest and his mercy, and then just rest on it. That is it. As humans, we make it so complicated. You know, we don't, a system where all I have to do is rest, that doesn't make sense to us. We gotta do something, right? Like, we gotta get our family in order. We gotta get our feelings in order. We gotta get our self-control down. No, God's gonna do that for you. All you need to do is receive God's grace, receive his mercy, and then rest completely on it. And some of you, you need to do that today. You need to stop trying to get everything figured out. I'm still trying. I don't have things figured out at all. I leave that up to the Lord, because life is crazy. And if you're going to try to figure out life and get it down and then rest, you will be doing that for the rest of your life. Because life will just get crazier, gnarlier, harder, crazy, 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 super crazy. And so we just need to rest. You know, it's like in kicking and screaming. when you play soccer, you just need to get the ball to the Italians. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yeah,
you just, there's a line where they say you just need to get the ball to the Italians. And we just need to give it to the Lord and He will win the game. And so, as we come to a close, I really encourage you guys to seek in your heart to go through those little like nooks and crannies of your life and look for ways where you aren't resting on the Lord. You're not receiving His grace. You're saying, I just need to get this down. I just need to get rid of that addiction. I just need to get a better filter on my computer. I just need to serve at church a little more. I need to figure out how to get my schedule to work out with my parents so that I can be more involved. Whatever it is, seek the Lord and then receive His grace. Receive His mercy, knowing that He is the only way that you will receive peace and be able to rest. So, before we close, I want to just take a few minutes, just in the quietness of your heart, in the quietness of your mind, take time to think. Take a moment or two to think and to pray and ask the Lord. Just say, are there any areas in my life where I'm doing things in my own strength, where I'm trying to get things figured out, I'm trying to fix this, I'm trying to improve that, you know, I'm trying to fix this about myself or fix that about myself. Jesus wants you to receive His grace, receive His mercy, and rest on it. So let's take a moment or two, bow your heads, close your eyes, and just think and pray and really ask the Lord in this time, you know, where in my life am I trying? Where do I need to just give it over to You and allow Your peace to take over? So bow your heads, close your eyes, and just take a moment or two to pray and ask the Lord about that. It's not God's will that you face the challenges and the confusions in your life on your own. So bring those before Him and just receive His grace, receive His mercy today, and then rest on His peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we are not in this life alone. It is intimidating, it's confusing, it's tough, and it's hard, Lord. So teach us how we can receive Your grace, how we can receive kindness that is not deserving of ourselves, Lord, and how we can receive mercy that we didn't earn, Lord. And then teach us how to just rest on Your peace, Lord. We don't want to do anything in our own strength. We don't want to work for Your peace, Lord. We want to rest on Your peace. So teach us to rest, we pray, Lord. We thank You that this is Your desire for us, to rest, Lord, not to fear, not to worry, not to exert ourselves in our own strength, but to rest on You and to be used for You in mighty ways and to be used by You as tools in Your hand. We love You so much, God, and we pray that You would have Your way in every aspect of our lives. We surrender completely to You. We pray that You would go before us this week. Help us to rest on You throughout every single day and everything that comes our way. We pray that You would be in each of our interactions with people who are saved and with people who are unsaved as well, Lord. We ask that You'd have Your way in us and through us this week. And we thank You for this time that we've gotten to grow deeper in You and to study Your word more. And we pray all these things in Your name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Oh, thank you. All right, guys, they just got out, so you're free to go. Don't forget, sign up for Raging Waters ASAP, as soon as possible.